Before we get into this week's podcast, I've got some exciting news to share with you. We recently shared how you can get your hands on the Comrades Marathon Pacing Bands. You could order yours up front, pre-order, and then pick them up printed at the Coach Parry stand at the Comrades Marathon Expo in Durban. Since we let you know that, we have got hundreds of emails asking us exactly how to predict what your Comrades Marathon finish time might be. The good news is we've created a calculator that'll tell you exactly how to do that, okay? All you need to do is head over to coachparry.com/time. The link is also in the description of this podcast. You can click on that. It'll take you straight through to the page. Plug in your best marathon time over the last 12 months, and it'll tell you exactly what your predicted Comrades Marathon finish time is for the app run this year, but also for the slightly shortened route as well. So we've done all the calculations for you. All you need to do is plug your marathon time in, and it'll tell you exactly what you can expect to run at the Comrades Marathon. All you need to do, head over to coachparry.com/time, and you can also pre-order your pace band for that exact finish time on that same page. So coachparry.com/time.
It's complicated by the fact that some people are qualified, some people are about to qualify, and some people are nowhere near qualifying. But what is important for all three of those groups is that you cannot train flat out for 6 months.
Super excited to be with you today. This is the first edition of Up. It's a journey to get you to the Comrades Marathon. My name is Brad Nadolt. It is so great to have you with us. Lindsay Parry, the official Comrades coach, is with us today as well. Lindsay, it's awesome to be back on these weekly podcasts.
Yeah, it's really exciting. And we are doing an Up run again for the first time in many years. So it was fitting for us to go right back to the beginning, where we started, and that is talking about Comrades. And yes, it's an up run. People are excited and nervous. And so it's just a great way to interact with our Comrades database and make sure that everybody gets to the start line and make sure that everybody finishes.
Yeah, Lindsay, I let the cat out of the bag saying it's great to be back doing these weekly. And that's exactly what we are going to be doing every single week from now until race day, Comrades 2024. We'll be publishing one of these and then hopefully continuing through after that as well. And you said this is how we sort of started. And I was doing the maths before we hopped on this call. You're going to laugh. It was 2011. That we actually started doing the first one. So we've been doing this for a long, long time. Obviously, technology's changed a little bit, but you can pick this up on YouTube. You can watch us on YouTube, or you can listen on whatever podcast player you listen to as well. Lindsay, essentially, yesterday, as we record this, was 18 weeks to race day. So whenever you're listening to this coming weekend will be 17 weeks, and it is the start of February. So we are like really into Comrade season right now. Obviously, we're not in peak training just yet, but let's chat about sort of more or less where folks should be right now. And there's a couple of different streams of runners we're going to be talking about today. I also want to let you know that I have a bit of a gripe, which I'm going to bring up a little bit later on in the podcast. And I think it might get people talking, but I'm a bit irritated after this weekend, to be honest, and I'll let you know a little bit more about that. But let's talk about sort of where we should be right about now in our Comrades training.
Yeah, we should really be holding back. I mean, I think that's a key word for the next 4 weeks, essentially, but certainly now for at 17 weeks out. Look, in South Africa, Comrades is the running event on the calendar. There are 20,000 plus athletes that line up to run 87 kilometers. As I said, it's an up run again, so a lot of excitement, a lot of nerves. But really what happens on the 1st of January is everyone wakes up and goes, oh boy, it's only 6 months to Comrades. And so people come out of the blocks and come out of the blocks hard. Now, it's complicated by the fact that some people are qualified, some people are about to qualify, and some people are nowhere near qualifying. But what is important for all three of those groups is that you cannot train flat out for 6 months. And so really 17 weeks out, it's really about habit, consistency, getting in the groove, getting into the habit of alarm goes off, I get up, I get my morning started, I go out, I do what I need to do, I'm doing my strength training, I'm doing my runs, but there shouldn't be a focus on very high volumes. We really are building up and we want to build up slowly. If you are leading into a qualifier, yes, you are going to be doing a little bit more training. But then it's so important, and I think we'll discuss that perhaps in more detail on another podcast, but what I just want to emphasize is that if you are about to qualify, if you've built up to a marathon, so you are training quite hard now, then it's key that you make sure you recover properly. And there is time. 17 weeks to go, there is time. You know, when we get to 12 weeks out, I will tell you the time to panic is now, okay? So that is when we really want to be in peak training. But until then, we are building ourselves up to that peak training. So if you've qualified, you're in the pound seats, and that invariably is always the biggest issue for people who start training for Comrades late. And I'm using that term quite loosely there, Brad, because there is loads of time. But because of qualifying cutoff dates, because if you do want to, while you are, you know, getting fit and training for Comrades, you might want to do a race like Two Oceans in South Africa. Those are two biggest races, Two Oceans and Comrades. And let's not forget that Cape Town is trying to climb up the rankings, but that's becoming a really great race, a big South African race in the second half of the year. But the reality is there are other ultras and races that people want to do, and often you have to qualify for those, and that puts you under pressure. Oceans, you've got to qualify by the 3rd of March. Comrades, you've got to qualify by May. So remember these timelines. You do have time, and the most important aspect of qualifying is qualifying when you're ready. Okay, so if you have qualified, you're in the driving seat, you can build up slowly, really plan your year ahead. Plan the races you're going to do as part of your preparation for Comrades and work your way towards that peak training. So now we just want to be consistent.
Yeah, Lindsay, we're going to talk a little bit about planning later on in this podcast as well, but you talk about not panicking just yet. And I've had the experience where if you are training super hard in January, by the time April comes and then May, you're so over this race already that you just want it to come. And that's not how you want to be going into the last little bit of Comrades training, where you actually are in peak training, being, as we say here in South Africa, khatful, just really tired and not loving your life. So it's important to be training. Don't get us wrong, but you don't have to be doing massive amounts of mileage now. Now it's just about building that foundation, right?
Absolutely. Now is just, as I said, habit and consistency. If there was a specific area of your training that I would really like to emphasize 17 weeks out, it's strength training. I mean, you can't go wrong by adding strength training to your routine. And now, while we are slowly building up that consistency and volume of your training, is a great time to be really piling into that strength training, so that when you get into the peak running training, you are strong, you can handle the training, you're a better athlete, your risk of injury is lower. So those are really all the good reasons why you should be doing strength training now, or if you aren't doing it, why you should be starting it now while your volume is a bit lower, so you can get it part of your routine, your body can get used to doing it, and you can benefit from the gains that you're going to get from it.
We're going to talk lots more about strength training on next week's podcast. But Lindsay, or let me just also just say, we do have a free strength plan. If you would like to download it and get started right now, just check out the description of this podcast, either on YouTube or the podcast player you're listening to. You can click through and download that strength plan now. Lindsay, you often talk about sort of racing your qualifier and trying to get a better seeding. For the guys who possibly qualified in October last year, let's say at Cape Town Marathon, and are running another marathon now, is it still okay? Is it still early enough to be pushing slightly harder to try and improve that seeding? Or is it a case of make sure you're running everything comfortably right now, even your qualifiers?
Yeah, you could improve your seeding now. I think what's much more important is just understanding what the role of seeding is, and then making smart decisions about that, particularly once we get into March. Once you're in March and you really want to be training hard, not recovering from races, not risking injury by doing races, and then you know, you've gone too hard, so but now you have to train, you don't want to give yourself the time to recover, so you start training too soon and you get injured. So I think let's just take a step back and look at what is the role of seeding, okay? essentially seeding, by its very definition, is there to ensure the safety of the runners. Okay. So if we have the faster runners at the front and they clear off and they're gone, then people can't get trampled underfoot. We aren't running into the back of people, tripping and falling and having a mass of humanity coming over. So I think let's first understand that it's about safety. So when we get runners like we did in the previous comrades that are tearing down the barriers, and you've got much slower runners forcing their way into seeding pens that are much higher up, that really does constitute a risk to everybody, okay? And so if people can firstly understand, I know that it's stressful, I know that it feels like the people who can least afford to lose time are losing time, just to understand that the seeding is by and large a safety issue and making sure that we get people across the start line safely without incident. Okay. So once you understand, A, that's what seeding's for, and two, if we break it down and try to remove the emotion and the fear around the fact that you're going to be losing so much time, it's really only G and H that lose a lot of time. And I'm not trying to play it down. I know that it's difficult. And if you are in G and H, you really are looking at losing between 8 and 12 minutes. But that's the thing. It really constantly. So the guys in B, C, and D lose almost nothing, like less than 2 minutes. And the guys in E and F then take it two to around 4 minutes, and then it starts to balloon 6, 8, 10 minutes behind that. So you are going to lose time. So that is why people are so hell-bent on improving their seating and worried about it and talk about it all the time and try and get forward at inappropriate moments. So let's break it down like this. If you are in the right frame of mind, if you are fit enough, if you have been training well, then yes, you can improve your seating now. Okay. After that, the best you can hope to do is to improve by one seating. There are so few people that have the ability to move up two seating pens or improve a marathon time by 40 minutes. I mean, that is just an enormous improvement. So very few people are going to move two seating pens and then save themselves between 3 and 5 minutes, depending on if you're going from H and you're jumping all the way to F, then yes, perhaps you are going to save yourself 5 minutes. But for everyone else, the best you can hope to do is to move forward one seating pen. And that means that the best you are going to do is to win yourself 2 minutes on race day. But you have to consider the cost of those 2 minutes. If you were to miss a month of training because you get injured during your marathon, or because you get injured because you start training too soon after your marathon, you are going to lose more than 2 minutes on race day, much more than 2 minutes on race day. If you were to go, right, my qualifying time is 4:45, perhaps I could go a little bit faster, but if I do, the cost is going to be too high. But if I were to train now and train properly for comrades, I can make myself so that I'm 10, 15, 20 minutes better as an athlete over 87 Ks rather than worrying about those 2 minutes. And then there is the other factor that we will talk about way closer to the race. If I go into details now, you know, people are just going to forget. But if you plan your race day, if you execute your race day, if you don't waste time on race day, those 12 minutes that you lose are going to be the only 12 minutes that you lose. And most people waste way more than those 8 to 12 minutes by the way they conduct themselves in the race than they do at the start. And that's why it starts to add up and you don't finish. So I think planning your actual race and sticking to it is going to save you way more time than racing a marathon in March or April to try and get 2 minutes ahead in the starting pens.
Now, Lindsay, talking about those the seeding and the seeding batches, particularly at the start, I think it's also important to remember that the uprun is very different to the downrun. So you start on a probably a much wider road in Durban. It is two lanes, but it is slightly wider. But it actually you spill out onto the highway almost immediately as you head out of Durban. Whereas Maritzburg, it does get very narrow. It's very congested. So you probably end up losing more time in Maritzburg on the downrun crossing the start line than you do in Durban to start with. But you also then have a bit of congestion as you head up towards Polly Shorts on the downrun. Whereas in Durban, you don't have that issue. You spill out on the highway and it opens up and that's it. Like you lose very little time. And I don't think people realize that in GNH. I've been lucky enough when you're my size and you're not built like a Kenyan marathon runner, they make you watch everyone else start first. So it does. The downrun, you get out of there much quicker than the uprun. The downrun, uprun, much quicker than the uprun.
It's an excellent point, and it's not, yes, you spill onto the highway quickly, but it's more than that. The road that we start on in Durban for the uprun is just much wider, full stop, than starting outside City Hall. So, no, you're absolutely right. So you probably on the uprun are looking between 6 to 8 minutes rather than on the downrun where you're looking 8 to 12 minutes in H-batch. Yes, good point.
Cool. And then, Lindsay, obviously people are following training plans. We've got a whole bunch of training plans on the Coach Perry app. There's some training plans on the Comrades Marathon website. Lots of people write Comrades training plans. And one of the mistakes that we see people making is going, you know what, I'm a 11-hour 30 Comrades runner or 11:45 Comrades runner, so I'm going to train for a sub-10 just to make 100% sure that if the wheels come off, at least then I'm in for a 11.5 or a 11:45 or a bronze. They go, you know what, I'm a 12-hour runner, I'm going to train for a sub-11. Let's talk about what training plan you should be on for your ability, and let's go across the board. I think it's not just the back of the packers that struggle with this, it's everyone.
Yeah, I'd say it's probably one spot in front. So probably the most important decision that you need to make is what training plan am I going to follow? And by inference, then, like what am I capable of running at Comrades? What am I going to train for? And then the second biggest decision you can make is to add the strength training. But really being on the right training plan and the right training plan for you, that is such an important decision for Comrades. Now, I've had this conversation many, many times, and Brad has heard me having the conversation, hence why he framed the question like he did. And that is that people often think that if they do a little bit more, they will make sure. And again, I think just like with the seating issue, understanding why the plans are written the way they are written is the key to making the right decision for you as an athlete. So as we move from the guys that are winning the race that way, I mean, it's hard to believe this sometimes when I say it out loud, but like between 46 and 52 kilograms, that's what the people who are winning the race weigh. So now you can understand that person can tolerate a lot more steps of hitting the ground because they hit the ground with far less force than I do, far less force than Brad does. And so they can afford to run more and do more training, coupled with the fact that their genetics, I'll finish this point, Brad, and then you can jump in and say what you want to add. But coupled with that their genetics just mean that even when they do the damage, they recover so much faster than we do. And that trend kind of flows back in the field. Like you've got the winners are there, your silver medal guys and Isabel Roschetti females tend to be lighter. And as we move backwards, and I know there are a few exceptions to the rules, guys, I accept that. But as a general principle, as we move back, biomechanics degrade, ability to recover degrades, the actual force with which we hit the ground increases. And so the plans are written not just with the finishing time in mind, but also with the type of runner and the ability of the runner that's following that plan in mind.
I'm going to propose something, Lindsay. This is if I was the race director, because this brings me back to a conversation that I had with Stephen Mozingi after I finished my first Comrades many years ago. And I asked him, somebody took a photo of the two of us next to each other. It's like Laurel and Hardy. It's ridiculous. Like, I'm 6 foot forever. This guy's tiny. And I said to him, how much do you weigh? And he said to me, he weighed 46 kgs, that Comrades that he won. And I was three times his weight, like literally more than three times the guy's weight. And I think they need to bring up a handicap system for Comrades runners. So if he finishes it in 5.5 hours and I weigh three times more than him, I should get three times the amount of time that he took to finish. And then they should work out the prizes from that. So if I go faster than my handicap, I should beat him and they should give me the money. So I think we should bring that in. I think a lot of people would be game for that. What do you reckon?
Look, in the States, it's literally why they have these categories. So that they're not competing against each other, but it just reflects that it's that much harder. You expend that much more energy. It takes that much more of a toll on you than it does Stephen Mozingi. And this is where appearances are also deceiving. I mean, Stephen Mozingi always struck me as one of the stronger / more muscular Comrades winners. But there you have it. I mean, he still weighs in the 40s. So, yeah, and I think that's really to emphasize that, is that we are all different. And that a 12-hour Comrades finisher is not the same as an 11-hour Comrades finisher, and the plans reflect that. So to give you just some sense of how to pick your plan, if you've done a marathon, it makes it much easier, because the further we run, the more accurate these predictive models become. And so if you're running under 3 hours for a marathon, then you can look at running under 7.5 hours for Comrades. If you are running between like 3:30 and just under 3:40, you are a Bill Roan candidate. Under 4 hours for a marathon, you're a Robert Macaulay candidate. And then under 4:24, but we'll be generous and say that 4:30, you probably have the ability to run under 11 hours. So anything up to 4.5 hours, you are training for a bronze, and then everyone's slower than 4:30. And I've already been a little bit generous there. 4:30 and slower, you must be on the finisher's plan, and that will take you to the finish line.
Just a quick break from the podcast for a second to let you know and remind you that you need to pick up your Comrades Marathon Pace Band for Comrades 2024 right now. CoachParry.com/pace. You can also click on the link in the description to this podcast right now. Don't leave anything to chance. Make sure you plan the perfect race come race day. Head over to CoachParry.com/pace right now to get your custom Coach Parry pacing band for race day, to make sure you run the race that is best suited for where you are and your training right now. That's CoachParry.com/pace. You can click on the link in the description right now. And don't forget, you don't want to pick up just one. Don't just take your plan A. Make sure you've got a plan B and plan C as well. That's CoachParry.com/pace. Running the Comrades Marathon doesn't have to be scary and intimidating. Just thinking about running 90 kilometers or 56 miles should give you butterflies in your stomach. Add to that the hills you have to run up and down and having to do it in under 12 hours. The thought of it is enough to freak the most seasoned runner out. Never mind a newbie to ultra running or a Comrades Marathon novice. As much as Comrades is a physical challenge, it's just as much a mental challenge. The constant mental gymnastics of second guessing yourself takes its toll. Am I training enough? How long should my long runs be? How many marathons should I run? What does this pain in my knee mean? My ankle is sore, should I rest or run? And then the two big ones. Am I fast enough and will I finish? The questions never stop. The constant worrying is exhausting. And that's exactly why we've created the Comrades Marathon Training Roadmap. It's a proven step-by-step training plan to get you from where you are today to having a Comrades medal around your neck without the stress and worry. Knowing that you've done what it takes to finish the ultimate human race, feeling strong and in control. Ensuring that you arrive at the start line fit and most importantly injury-free, because more than 64% of those who didn't finish the race last year started with an injury. The Comrades Marathon Training Roadmap guides you through every step of your Comrades journey. Training, qualifying, tapering, and race day. We've got you covered every step of the way. Simply head over to coachparry.com/up to get access to it now, or simply click on the link in the description. That's coachparry.com/up. Now back to the podcast. So we now know what plan we should be training on. And Lindsay, the paces in there in those training plans are quite important too. It's not a case of that's the bar. And if you're running way faster than the training plans, then you are A for away. You want to stick to those plans. I don't know if you want to get into the reason behind that. Especially with a race like Comrades, where a lot of people think, wow, like, do I really need to run that slowly?
Yeah, and that's a fantastic question, Brad. And it makes me realize I actually didn't explain the previous point well enough, because that is the point, is that those plans are built with specific mileages and intensities in mind. Okay. And the intensities that you train at are so critical, both from injury prevention, but also from your optimal development as a runner point of view. And so that is the crux of these plans, is that they are written with that ability so that you do in particular, but it's not limited to, but particularly that you do run your easy runs easy enough, and that you then do your other harder runs at the right intensity for you. But Brad, I think in a nutshell, the reason why, or let me explain the reason why you want to be running slower. And it's because when we do the easy runs, we are really trying to stimulate specifically aerobic adaptation. We are trying to improve your body's ability to use the oxygen that's in the air, get it into the lungs, through the alveoli, into the blood, transport that to the working muscles, so that the majority of the energy that you are using, particularly come Comrades race day, is from aerobic pathways in the presence of oxygen. And so those are the processes that we are looking to improve when we are running easy. And we want to do that with doing the least amount of damage physically. Now, that aerobic adaptation that I'm talking about, that happens on a broad range, okay? Probably up to 90 seconds per kilometer/mile. That's how broad this range is. So just because I've got the maths in my head, I'm going to use a silver runner. So for a silver runner, someone who's borderline 7.5 hours, that aerobic range ranges from somewhere around 445, 450 per kilometer to about 520 per K. So that's a really nice broad range. But anything from about 5 to 510 is safely inside that range, but much lower impact forces than on the 440 to 450. So 440 to 450, getting great aerobic adaptation, but high degree of damage because you're hitting the ground way harder. We go to the 5, 5, 5, 10, 5, 15, we're still getting the same aerobic adaptation, but now we're hitting the ground far, far softer. So that eccentric load, the muscles contracting while they lengthen, and your quads for example, are acting as a shock absorber, dampening that impact and stopping you from collapsing. That is much lower at 520 or 515 than it is at 450. And so that's why you want to run easy, and that's how the plans are written, and that's why the pace recommendations are as they are.
All right, cool stuff. Lindsay, let's talk a little bit about, before I get into my gripe, I think I mustn't forget that, but let's talk a little bit about planning your year. So as we're recording this, beginning of Feb, and you mentioned qualifiers and then planning out your year. The long run is massive point of debate amongst runners in the build-up to Comrades, and the timing, first of all, the distance and the timing. But let's talk about the timing more than anything. When should we be? Because logistically, we're talking about it now in February. You're not going to be doing your long run now, but you need to plan this ahead of time. So let's talk about the timing of your long runs in the build-up to Comrades.
Yeah. So again, these are such key questions to the process. And the reason why we want to set the long run now is because all of our other longer runs are going to be keyed off of when that is. Okay. So if you're a novice, and in particular, if you're a novice to running, and running, comrades, is what got you into running, and you have very low mileage on your body, you need to be quite careful about how you do this. Now, the reality is that the long run, from a pure physical point of view, do we need to run 50 plus kilometers for comrades? Absolutely not. In fact, if we're going to really burrow down into it, you probably shouldn't. Never mind, do you have to? You shouldn't run that far. But we are going to run that far because it does provide some pretty useful information on a few key fronts, which we will really dive into in detail much later in the series, but really around preparation, mental toughness, nutrition, clothing, etc. So those are all good reasons why we do it. The fact that it's really not the ideal thing to do, and especially for newbies, it's probably slightly counterproductive physically. That's why we do it further back. We do it 6 weeks from race day. So you can get all of the positive benefits from it, but then we also give you time to recover from it. So 6 weeks out is when you're going to do it if you're an absolute novice and newbie to runner. Comrades runners with more experience will go at about five weeks out, and it's only the like real top achievers, your 5%ers, your guys that are and ladies that are running under 3 hours for the marathon that will look at doing that long run 4 weeks out. So we got 6 weeks for novices and newbies, we've got 5 weeks out for more experienced athletes, and we've got 4 weeks out for the very fast. And then we'll work all our long runs backwards from there. Okay. And what we want is a minimum of 3 weeks between 40 plus kilometer workouts. So any runs that are 40 Ks or more, we want 3 to 4 weeks. So once you know what your date is for your long run, you can go back 3-4 weeks and plug in your next long one, and then 3-4 weeks and plug in your next long one, and we want a maximum of 3, including qualifiers, etc. Maximum of 3. And I'm talking to everyone except the guys that are running faster than 3 hours. Yeah, I always make this joke, Brad, and it's if you don't have friends and you don't like your family and you've got loads of spare time, then you train for a silver. And of course, because you are built differently and you do have a little bit more time to recover, etc., they will do more of those. But for the vast majority of comrades, the other 95% of us normal runners, we will have 3 to 4 weeks between.
I'm going to ask you this question because I know we often get a lot of pushback, and particularly the comrades runners who have been around the block a few times. When you talk about not having to go longer than 50 Ks, what response do you have to somebody that goes, well, how do I go from 50 to almost 90 on race day? Surely just from a mental perspective, that's such a big jump.
I always take these things to the end of the story, and that's, what happens if you're training for 100 milers? What happens if you're training for 200 milers? Somewhere along the line, your training run becomes too damaging for it to really bring you any material benefits. And in fact, it'll just do you way more harm than good. So, and comrades is on that tightrope, right? It's like whether you know, 50 to 60 Ks, that's far. And if we break it down into time, and that's often when the penny can drop for people, if we break it down into time, if you are training to run a silver, comrade, and you go out and do a 50K training run, that's going to take you about 4 hours, actually less than 4 hours. So you're going to be out there training 4 hours. Now you're training for a sub 11 and you go and run 50K. So you're going to be there almost double. You'll be out there almost double that time. You're going to be out in the sun, on your feet, pounding the road for 7.5 hours. So even if you do that at the right intensity, so that you're doing the same level of damage as I am, your exposure to that intensity over such a long period of time means that you just get to the point of diminishing returns. Okay, so you definitely don't want to be doing much more than 50. Of course, I have to asterisk it because we do have two oceans. It is a great run. I do encourage people to do it because it is one of Safco's great runs. But then you have to understand that it's going to do damage and it is going to impact your performance. Come comrades. And the more important comrades is to you, the easier you need to do two oceans. The harder you do two oceans, the more it's going to compromise your performance at comrades. That is the reality. But since less than 2% of the field are actually lining up to try and win, the rest of us must enjoy ourselves. And that includes oceans. But then you know why you're doing it. Don't fool yourself into thinking at 56Ks is great or the right training for comrades. It's not. It's far and it does damage. But it is a great race. Do it for the right reasons and then adapt your training around that so that you recover the best you can. But accept that it is going to have a compromise on your comrades' performance.
Absolutely. All right. Let us know in the comments, when are you planning on doing a long run? What are you doing for your long run? Just for interest sake, we'd love to know. Pop those into the comments. Before we wrap things up, Lindsay, my gripe. I live in Cape Town, right? As you know, I used to live in Joburg for many years. And I've been running a fair whack in Cape Town, and I didn't pick it up until I was in Joburg last week. And Cape Town runners are going to hate me for this, but I want to know why they are so unfriendly. Like, literally nobody in this town greets each other when they're running. Like, Joburg last week, every single person I ran past, how's it? Hand up. Nice to see you. Cape Town, like, nobody greets anyone. And I want to know why that is. You've had similar experiences. You must have. You've lived in Cape Town as well.
But my experience was worse than people not greeting us. I was in town for a wedding, and I ran from Steenberg into Noordhoek on the one day, and the other day I ran into what used to be a forest, but you know, I don't know if it had been burnt down or cut down, but I was fairly disappointed to get there. Used to ride my mountain bike there once upon a time. But on both of those runs, and they were both way in excess of 2 hours. Yeah, people, it's not that they don't greet you, Brad, they don't greet you back. So I would greet and they wouldn't greet me back. And then coming back from Noordhoek over Kopsahoop, I was just not feeling great. And I decided I'm going to stop. And so I turned my watch off because I was like, if I turn my watch off and I zero it, then that's it. The run is over and I'm going to get a lift back. Well, nobody stopped to check if I was okay. I mean, I understand you're running and you're sweaty, so people might not want you in their nice fancy car, but nobody stopped to check if I was okay. Eventually, after walking for 3 kilometers, I was like, well, I'm going to get home much faster if I just suck it up and run the rest of the way home. So, those are my two stories. And when I got back, I said, would you like to move back to Cape Town? I said, you know what? I love Cape Town. I love coming to visit. But no, I like it that when I run, people will greet me, and sometimes in Joburg I'll run and someone will just start running with me and we will just run along and have a cool chat for 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 Ks, and then that'll be that.
Yeah, so Cape Town runners are probably going to hate me for saying this, but you need to lift your game. Like, that is, I live here and I'm sick of, as Lindsay said, greeting people and just being ignored. Come on, Cape Town, you can do better. It's the most beautiful city in the world, but you really do need to lift your game. Linz, as always, awesome to catch up. Looking forward to the next one. We'll chat a week from now. Everyone else, happy training. Stay consistent. No big mileage. Comrades, it's a long way away. Make sure you recover properly. Watch your nutrition. And we'll chat again in a week. From myself, Brad Adult, and Lindsay Parry, it's cheers. Thank you for listening to this episode of Up. Don't forget to pick up your custom Comrades Marathon 2024 pace band right now. We'll print them out and make sure we've got them waiting for you at the expo in Durban in the build up to Comrades. So head over to coachparry.com/pace or click on the link in the description right now.